Let's go to Isaiah 55. We'll be bouncing through the Bible here in May, before Memorial Day weekend. And we're going to look at God Can Really Do It. And we'll start with Isaiah 55. And we start in verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. And we read, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Yeah, you never know when he's going to move out of town. It's more got to do with us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's a beautiful figure of speech because he's always near. He's always going to be found. But we have to do the seeking. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God says, "For my thoughts or my plans are not your thoughts or plans." And I think that's a great thing. Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are plans than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven," which we get every May, "and returns not thither, but God has a purpose for it, because it waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and food to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." See, God's word will achieve what God wants it to achieve. And that's really the thing to look at. Okay, if you play offense for the Denver Broncos, you don't want to ever listen to that quarterback. What does he know? Okay? No, if you want to play, you are in tune with Peyton Manning and his ways and how he runs the offense and how he does everything. Got your orange on. He's ready to go. All right. So the thing is that if you decide to try and do it your way rather than Peyton's way, how long and how in touch will you be? You won't be there very long. You won't lock in and work together as a team collectively for the greater good. Well, if God says his ways, his plans, his thoughts are above ours, wouldn't it behoove us to lock into his thoughts, his plans, his ways, and do it that way, follow along the way he wants it done, the way he's proven it works? The answer is yes. Okay. All right, good. So that's the point, is that God is telling us, look, like heaven's higher than the earth, my ways are that much higher than your ways. So quit trying to do everything yourself and lock into the way God wants it done. And lots of other great, wonderful things will happen. Sometimes, though, we have to be, gasp, patient to know God's way. I know this is in our society, if we got to wait another 10 seconds for a computer to boot up or sit at that traffic light any longer. Yeah. But yeah, patience, you know, sometimes, look at Matthew 5. You see, what we're going to look at here to start with, we have three parts to this teaching, and boy, we're going to be all over the Bible. I hope you're nice and comfortable. Matthew 5:18 is where we're going to go to start with. All right. The first part of it is dealing with what God has done. And then we have to ask ourselves, has God really done these things, or are these like, you know, fairy tales, like George Washington really didn't chop down a cherry tree or something like that? Matthew 5:18, we read, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." This word of God is going to happen until it's fulfilled. It will be here and as trustworthy as God is until it's all fulfilled. Is that true? Yep. For 10 points, is that true? Yes, it is. All right, really, go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Sometimes we look at things in the Old Testament. Genesis 12, verse 1.
And what do we read in Genesis 12:1?
We read God's word, and he's going to talk about an individual. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, leave North Carolina, get thee out of thy country. Wherever you are, it's not best for you to stay there. And leave your family." What? Well, they're all idolaters, so what the heck? All right, that's what he's telling them. Instead, leave your country, leave your family, and even get away from, you know, your father's house. And instead, come unto a land that I will show thee. You know, he said, all right, Abraham, pull out Google Earth. I'm going to show you where to go. Get the moving vans here. We'll load them up, and we'll head out. Wasn't available. He didn't know that the Americas existed and all these other things. He was over in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, over where modern-day Iran, Iraq is in that area. And it's a matter of, okay, leave. And here's what will happen. I'm going to give you a land that I'm going to show you, and then I will make of thee a great nation. That's kind of hard to do if you don't have any children. But God is saying, I will make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bless thee. Stop. Isn't that just big enough if the creator of the heaven and the earth says, hey, I'm going to bless you and you, and yeah, I don't know about him, but you. No, I'm going to bless you. I'll bless you. But the creator, well, we're going to read that later on. That's exactly what he's done for us too. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Here we are, 3,000 years later, talking about him as one of the greats of all time. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless others as you, that will bless thee. So, you want to be on God's good side? Bless Abraham. Hang, you know, learn from Abraham. And on the other hand, I will curse him that cursed thee. And in thy seed, and in thee, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we are blessed because Abraham was blessed. Because he listened to God. He followed it out. He left the land where he had wells dug, where there were lots and lots of McDonald's. He went to a land that he had never been before, that other people were living in. And God did bless him. God did take care of him. Look at Exodus 3. But that's just a fairy tale. Abraham really didn't exist. Or did he? And maybe he did get blessed. And maybe all of us are blessed because of the believing of Abraham, since he's called the father of believing. All right, Exodus 3:7. You may have heard of this guy. His name's Moses. All right, or Charlton Heston. Think I'm kidding. See, it's right here. Just pull them out there. All right, Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, let's pick it up in verse 6. God's going to introduce himself to Moses. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And Moses did the smart thing. He hid. He went, okay, why are you talking to me? All right? For he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'm going to send you. What? Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. Come, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, oh, no. I got a nice job. I'm comfortable. I got a wife. Got a couple kids. Things are good. No, God's saying, sorry. I'm giving you the opportunity to be really well known. They'll be making movies about you later on. And, exactly. Moses is human, and he has a life. He's very well established. He'll be the next priest after Jethro. Moses said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Oh, surely thou just God. That's a pretty nice trick, though, with that bush that's burning. think I could turn that into, you know, great job experience here. I could make a product that could. All right. Did this really occur?
Yes,
it did. In fact, in the Exodus class we did earlier, I showed you a bunch of the artifacts that had been found at where the crossing of the Red Sea was, which really happened too. Now, all right, Numbers 23. We'll look at another one there. Specifically the number 23. Do I have a bingo? Numbers 23. So, these are things God said. These are God's plan. Abraham didn't go, God, I'm tired of living here. Find me a place. No. God said, Abram, got a deal for you. Moses, got a deal for you. All of us, God is saying, you have a special calling in my body. Are you ready? Are you ready? Heck yeah, you're graduating, man.
Yeah.
All right. He's ready. All right. Exodus 23:19. Familiar scripture. God is not a man that he should be a politician and lie. Oh, wait a minute. God is not a man that he should lie. Not the Son of Man that he should repent. Has God said it and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? If God says it, God's endorsed it, it's going to happen. Did Abram get this land? Yes. Did Moses lead the children of Israel out? Oh, it's a piece of cake. Well, maybe not. But he did. Right. But did God help them along the way? There's the key. God is not a man. God will help them. God will direct their path. God will, if you're aligning with his plan, his ways, his thoughts, doing what God wants, then enjoy. But if you're on your own, ouch. All right. 1 Peter 1. We'll look at one more for this segment. All right. These are things that God said he has done. Did they happen? We've come to a consensus. At least 80% of us believe it happened. All right. 1 Peter 1. Back to the Bible. We'll start in verse 18. God said it. God's ways are higher. We need to tap into doing things God's way. And great things happen. All right, 1 Peter 1:18 we read, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." You know, God didn't send, a goldsmith down to barter for you. And, you know, you were worth 5 pieces of gold, you were worth 7, you were worth 2 pieces of silver. Now, "For as much as you know you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation or behavior, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ," that's what you were redeemed by, "the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Our faith and hope, our believing and hope should be in God. God's plans, God's directions, God's help, God knowing what's best. We lock into what God wants. We're patient. But since he raised Jesus from the dead, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see then that you also love one another with a pure heart, fervently, because you're born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which was made up by people around the campfires.
No.
Which lives and abides forever. The word of God, no jot, no tittle of it, will not happen. It will all come to pass. So, let's get tied into God's plan. All right, look at, since we're here, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. The second part of this is the future. God had Abraham, God had Moses, God had Jesus Christ. God says there's lots of great things available. My plans are better than your plans. My ways are better. I kind of got it all thought through. Let's Go Omaha, Omaha, huh? All right. Since we talked about Peyton a little bit. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the future. Now, God's going says some things in here that talks about the future. And none of this possibly could come to pass. Right. A contrary. All right, 2 Peter 3:1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, so that you're mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. You mean God told prophets in the Old Testament to write things down that would come to pass in the New Testament? Yes, he did. Maybe because he knows the end before the beginning. He's a terrible person to go watch movies with. He knows who did it all the time. That you may be mindful of the words which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Good things we don't have any of those people around yet. And they're mocking, saying, where's the promise of his coming? He's not really coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, now here it is, God's word, God's plan, the heavens that were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the water that then was being overflowed with water perished. And that's not the flood of Noah. That's the Genesis 1:1, between 1:1 and 1:2 account. That first heaven, that first earth perished by water. Whereupon the world that then was being overflowed with water, bye-bye. But the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God just doesn't have any recognition of time. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. When he makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it, as some men count slackness. If it takes longer than you think, that's okay. It's all part of God's plan. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. It's going to happen like a thief in the night. There's a commercial out where it's saying, your heart attack will be at noon tomorrow. You know, the little things like that. You know, okay, well, with you know, we don't get those kind of warnings. The thief doesn't tell us when he's coming. Same type of thing. It's basically, nobody knows when Christ is coming back. Wait a minute. Oh, God, I thought it was going to happen. We don't know. In the which, though, the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Now, this is real global warming. This is when it will all be destroyed. This is going to happen. Not man-made anything. This is God-made. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So, it's going to happen. Verse 12 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements, the periodical table of elements, shall melt with fervent heat. That's going to happen. That's going to happen to the earth that is around today. It will be destroyed by fire. And we can speculate what kind of fire he's going to use. Will the inner magma of the core of the earth get too hot and burn us from the earth? Will an asteroid come down and burn us from the sky? Will we blow each other up with nuclear? Or will it be a hot disease? Who cares? Because we got something greater to look forward to. We'll keep reading. Nevertheless, we, that's us, according to his promise, we can look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. There's an exhortation. These things are going to happen. And the exhortation is, hey, live for God today. Live for me. Do what you need me to do. You know what God needs you to do today. That's what he's saying. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto us, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Basically, Peter saying, this guy Paul knew what he was doing when he wrote this stuff. I know some of you guys are having a hard time with what he wrote, but it's accurate. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, I just can't understand it. They're the ones that rest with it. They're unlearned and unstable. As do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but instead grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Go back a couple pages. Before we have the fireworks on earth, where that will be destroyed, a small event has to happen that will directly affect us. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a summoning shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort, encourage one another with these words. Christ is coming back. We don't know when. Thief in the night type thing. It's going to happen. Sometime. Anytime. Daily. Hourly. Sometime. Don't live like it's not going to happen until, 50 years down the road. Because we don't know. Here's the point. Is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any problems believing that what we just read is going to happen?
No.
Did Abraham find a land? Did Moses deliver the people? Did God send Christ back? Does he have the power? He raised Christ from the dead. Does he have the power to raise us too, all at one time? No, he probably doesn't.
No.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. We can live like this. This is going to happen. And then the earth's going to be destroyed. It won't happen until we're gone, despite what all the politicians, not true scientists, believe. All right, Revelation 21. We'll look at one more part of this, and then we'll go to, what about today? All right, love reading the back of the book. The end of the story. Christ is going to come back. He really is going to. He's got the power to change our bodies to new spiritual bodies, to deliver us for that giant bema party in the sky. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That other one, the one we're in today, is going to be blown up, or it's going to be melted. For the first, the Greek word is former. The former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, which, it's 1,377 miles this way, that way, that way, that way. I showed you the map of how, it's like a third of the United States. The New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall encourage and comfort his people. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more taxes. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. That's all part of our hope. That's all part of what we get to look forward to. So, we looked at the past. It happened as God said it was going to happen. We look at the future. It's going to happen according to God's plan that we read about in Isaiah. So, what do we do today? Thank you all for showing up. God bless you. See you later. No, Ephesians 1. What is available for us today so that we can just be, just always bummed out all the time and life's terrible and nothing ever goes right? No. Ephesians 1:3, the greatest book ever written to you and me. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good start. We want to keep God blessed. That's good. We want to be on the right side of God, right? He's God after all. God is blessed. Yeah, God's blessed. And then God in turn has blessed us. Put your name in there. God has blessed Ryan Mitchell with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings when you get there. Doesn't say that. Now, because of Christ's accomplishments, because of Christ sitting on the right side of God, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies are available. Which ones would you like? Today's menu? We have patience, peace, and encouragement. I'll take all three, please. That's what's available all the time. All spiritual blessings according as he has chosen us in him. He's got the plan thought through, and he said, in the year 2014, I want Lizzie to be part of my family. I'll choose her. Way back when, back before the foundation or the overthrow of the world, that we, all of us, should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 8, wherein God then, through the accomplishments of Christ and through the written word, he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence means good sense. So you can't just be a fool. God has abounded towards us good sense. So you can't be saying, I made a foolish... Well, we shouldn't do that. We have abounded towards us all wisdom and all good sense. That's what's available. Where are you going to find it? Why? James chapter 1. In the Word of God, that comes the pass. It has God's plan in it. We just don't have the timetable. But the plan's there. James 1:5. Where's the back of the book? We see James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, your hand automatically goes up, right? If any of you lack wisdom, then let him try and figure it out by himself, because you know it all. Yeah. Well, how about this for simplicity? Why don't you ask God? If any of you lack wisdom, that's a novel item. Let him ask God. Because God gives wisdom, his wisdom that are accurate, liberally. He just wants some wisdom? Want some more? Want some more? Please, I got lots of it here. You want it? Nah, I'll do it myself. No! And he doesn't upbraid you. He doesn't, you know, insult you and go, oh yeah, you need wisdom again. Why didn't you come last week? You know? No. He doesn't do that for us. And it shall be given unto you, the individual. God has wisdom. God will give it to you. Look at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You want a good gift? Go to God. You want a perfect gift? Go to God. He's going to, and it's all available for us. Look at 1 John to the right, a couple more pages. 1 John 5. So this is what's available today where we live. We're blessed. We can get wisdom. God knows how to give us good gifts. 1 John 5:13. It happened in the past to Abraham and Moses, all the prophecies about Jesus Christ that came to pass. Things in the future are going to warm up quite considerably. And we're going to have a new spiritual body when it does, and great things are going to happen. So today, can we count on God? All right, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do we believe that Jesus Christ died, that God raised him from the dead, that he is our Lord, that he existed? Yes, all of the above. These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know now that you have inherited eternal life. You've got a nice cushy chair in heaven for all eternity with your name on it. The question is, are you near the front, or are you barely in the standing room only section because you didn't do anything for him now? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence then that we have in him. God is telling us to have confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according, though, to His will, there's the caveat in there. Well, we better know His will. We better know His plans. We better know His thoughts. We better know His desires. We better know His word, because that's where we find His will. We know then that God hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That is what's available. But we have to ask. We have to align with Him and His will, His plan, His thought, His direction, His guidance. And He hears us. And great things will come to pass. Again, one look at Philippians 4. Again, another familiar scripture, as most of these are. But just a great reminder. Philippians 4:19. It says, "But my God is limited in His supply, and He gave it all out in the Middle Ages." No, He didn't. "But my God shall supply all of your greed." "But my God shall supply all and every need, because He's a kind, loving God. But it will be according to His riches and glory through the accomplishments of Christ." We go to Romans 4. Go back a little bit. Almost done. Then we'll read all of Isaiah backwards. No. All right, Romans 4:20. Hey, then we'll get our dog back, our car back. Okay. All right, Romans 4:20. Again, dealing with Abraham, a promise he had received thousands of years ago. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How many promises do we have today that God has given us? Do we stagger at them through unbelief? Or are we strong in faith, strong in believing, by giving glory to God, knowing if God has done it in the past and in the past and in the past, He's done it so many times, and He'll do it in the future, can He not do it now? Can He not perform? Can He not back up His word? Being strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will be able also to perform it for everybody but you. No. Sometimes we think that way. Oh, yeah, I see God working for you all the time. Oh, God, what about us? God cares about each and every one of us. He will take care of us. That's His job. Okay, you knew we had to close in 1 Peter 3.
You knew that.
Sorry. 1 Peter 3:8. So, God has a lot available for us today. If we continue to try and do it all our way, we'll have a lot more trouble than if we tap into His plans, His ways, His thoughts, His will. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Finally," and you're probably thinking the same thing. 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind." Be like-minded. How do you get like-minded? On the Word of God. "Having compassion one of another." That's being sympathetic towards each other. "Love as brethren." Love the brothers. "Be pitiful." I have a problem. I'm really pitiful. No, and that time frame, it means be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. "And courteous and humble-minded." So be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love. Be tender-hearted. Be humble-minded. And don't render, don't repay evil for evil. Yeah, somebody did something evil to you. Make sure you notch it up and you'll get your revenge. No, don't repay evil for evil or railing for railing. That means insult for insult. You've insulted me. I'm going to insult you back. No, we don't need to do that. We don't have time to waste on insults, evil, repaying, how we're going to get even. But contrariwise, blessings. Well, God bless you anyway. Have a nice day. "Knowing that ye are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing." We're going to get a blessing. We're going to get a blessing. Look at chapter 4. We'll close here. 1 Peter chapter 4. You've inherited a blessing. Oh, gee. Eternal life, new spiritual body, known even as you are known. No more sorrow, death, grief. That's great blessings. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man has received the gift." Well, do we all have the gift?
Yes.
Sure, we've all taken out an account at a local bank and they gave us a toaster. No, that's not wrong gift. As every man has received the gift of Holy Spirit, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold or diversified grace of God. We look in the mirror and we see the grace of God. And God's grace is diversified, so we are to be good stewards of this gift of Holy Spirit. And then, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles or the declarations of God. Speak declaring the greatness of God. And if you minister, let him do it as the ability which God has given you already, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glory and praise to yourself? No. Glory and praise to God through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. So be encouraged, be blessed, and enjoy. You only got one life. Enjoy it. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace. We're thankful that you recorded things you've done for your people in the past, what you're going to do in the future, and we can have the confidence to live for you in this day and time and hour, and put out the effort as good stewards of the gift of Holy Spirit, and do whatever it is you've called us to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.